This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, you're with Adam Todd on Bandcamp, and it's time for another special guest. We've been playing him for yonks, but he's in town to promote his album, The Defamation of Strickland Banks. It's out now through Warner. He's been blowing everyone away at the big day out and a bunch of sideshows as well, and we're lucky enough to be chatting to him today. Welcome to Joy, Ben Drew, also known as Plan B.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thanks. Now, for those who aren't too familiar with yourself as an artist, can you give us a very brief life story?
Yeah, I taught myself how to play guitar when I was 14. Started writing songs, like soul songs, R&B, love songs. Always kind of dabbled in MCing, I guess, kind of more underground music and performing. And when I got to about 17, 18, I decided that talking about love in music kind of was something I didn't feel comfortable with because I hadn't experienced it at that age. What I had experienced was quite a messed up kind of childhood, you know, school and stuff, difficult, and I felt that that was something I needed to talk about, so I kind of stopped making soul music, started making hip-hop, and I call myself Plan B. And I put a hip-hop record out in the UK, which was critically acclaimed and which had a kind of cult status, but was kind of too explicit for radio. And after that, I decided that I wanted to start singing again as well as rapping. And I made Defamation of Strickland Banks, which is the record that's kind of blown up in the UK last year and just starting to kind of blow up here.
It must be quite odd to be here in Australia and doing all the promo for the album and all that when, you know, you are so established and big over in the UK. How are you finding the promo trail over here? Is it a bit of a drag?
No, it's not, man. It's like any promo anywhere, man. It's like, I think it's a drag when you feel like you're flogging a dead horse, you know. Like my first record, I'd go places and you could just tell people weren't interested, you know what I mean? You was kind of there because their producer, you know, said that they had to interview you, you know, and you kind of get that feeling. With this album, I get the feeling that people genuinely like the record and you know, want to promote it, want to help me. And so it's not a drag, it's just hard, isn't it? Because you kind of, you know, woke up 9 o'clock this morning and I ain't going to finish till 5 today. That's all it is, it's a physical thing, but mentally it's not an issue for me.
And in terms of your live shows, I was at your Prince of Wales gig last night, and your energy on stage is amazing, so much enthusiasm there. How do you maintain that as well as balancing it with the promo stuff?
Again, I don't know, maybe I should start taking prescription drugs or something. It's only tiredness, man. Like, I was out last night, you know, because we work hard, so we like to play hard, man. And I didn't go to sleep till 4 in the morning last night, and I was up by 8:30 today. And that's the only reason I'm kind of yawning and stuff, you know. I don't know, obviously the promo side of it is work, but then you need to make people aware of what it is you're doing, because some people can get kind of confused, you know, if they don't fully understand. And you need publications, you need radio stations and journalists to kind of help convey that message. So, you know, I understand that media is important, you know, and it is work. It's not something that comes natural to me, talking about myself all the time, but you learn how to do it, you know, and use it to your advantage, man.
You mentioned in interviews that you feel quite lost. There's an awesome lyric, which I love, from a Kiwi artist called Brooke Fraser that goes, "Am I lost or just less found?" Do you consider the feeling lost to be one of a negative or a positive?
I wouldn't say I'm lost. I'd just say that, you spend your whole adult life trying to fix, I feel, the things that your parents or somebody has broken inside of you as a child. So it's more you're trying to find out who you are. I'm not lost because music and art guides me, you know what I mean? It's the one thing in my life I've always been very kind of positive about and optimistic about, you know, even though growing up I was a pessimist and I was very cynical about just human beings, you know what I mean? I always expected the worst from human beings because of the stuff that I'd experienced. So, yeah, I feel that music and art was the only kind of positive things, the only thing I never doubted in my life. So I wouldn't say I'm lost. I'd say that I'm still finding out who I am as a person, you know, but that's just growing up, man. Every year goes by, you kind of morph into someone new. That's why I ain't got no tattoos, you know what I mean? Because I just think if I got a tattoo like a year later, I'd regret it because I'm a different person a year later. And a kind of tattoo, I don't know, makes you feel like you can never change and become someone else because it reminds you of who you was back then. And if there's certain things you didn't like about yourself back then, that tattoo will always remind you. And I just feel that there's a lot more growing for me to do. Like, you know, I'm quite a spiritual guy and I believe in, you know, rather than believing in religion, I believe in just kind of positive energy. And I think that there's a, you know, a lot more of my mind that I could open up. Even now I feel like I'm an open-minded person, but I feel there's a lot more I could open up, you know, and I could be a lot more at peace with myself, you know. But although I've done a, you know, a really good job since I left school, you know, keeping my anger under control and yeah, all the rest of it, I've done a good job, but there's still work to be done.
I was going to ask you about your school days because I've read that you sort of didn't fit in that well at school, and a lot of our listeners, the youth, gay and lesbian of Australia, probably definitely relate to that. Do you have any advice for those that may be struggling at school or getting bullied at school?
Yeah, it's special to be different. It's good. When you get older, you actually give you some security. You want to be like everyone else. You want to be a sheep. That's boring. It's not interesting. I remember kids at school used to treat me different. I don't know why, because, you know, they had better clothes than me or whatever. Or just because I was different in my head. I was a slightly weird kid. And I couldn't fit into line. I found it very difficult to kind of follow everybody else and just kind of, I don't know, blend into the background. And therefore I was a target. But now I love it. I love it. I love the fact that I'm different from all those people. I look at those people now, 10 years later, whatever, longer than that, 15, 16 years later. And what are they doing? What are they doing? You know, they're no longer the cool kind of popular person in the school. They're some fat, bald, you know, motherfucker who's got three different girls pregnant, you know, got three different girls, you know, demanding money from them, and they're just working as a plasterer or a plumber, and they ain't got enough dough to support their kids. They got a little cocaine habit, you know. See me walking down the street, suddenly, like, you know, they want to be my friend now, you know. So it's good to be different, and it's good not to follow a crowd. You should be proud of yourself. I think it's like, you got to have, in this day and age, you got to have more of an attitude like, this is what I am, fuck you. It's like a black person in a white school, you know, being made to feel bad because he's black. At some point, that guy's going to turn around and go, you know what, fuck you, this is who I am.
I was going to ask you about the culture of gay people in rap as well. Do you think there'll ever be a time when there'll be a commercially successful gay rapper who's out and rapping about gay stuff?
I think as soon as you start rapping about sex, like gay sex, in great detail, then you're alienating people that ain't gay. And I know that sounds like such a contradiction and hypocritical, because obviously kind of straight rappers constantly talking about sex, constantly in the music. I'm just saying, like, no straight person is going to be able to relate to it, a song about gay sex, you know. So in order, with music, in order for it to kind of be popular enough to appeal to the masses, I think it's got to be someone who's gay, who's not even talking about the fact that they're gay, he's not talking about the sexuality. It's more about talking about life, saying shit that's fucking real, saying shit that people are going to go, you know what, this guy's got a good head on his shoulders, he knows what he's talking about, and being gay. Yeah, I'm all this, you know, like, imagine if Tupac was gay and he was open about it. He never mentioned once in his music that he was gay, you know, or talked about being gay. But if he had have come out and said, like, you know, he was gay, you know, would it have changed all those songs he'd written? Would it change how good they are? No. And I think, I think that's kind of how it needs to be approached. But I think, you know, before Eminem, you know, it wasn't acceptable to be a white rapper. Before Drake, it wasn't acceptable to be a Canadian rapper in the US. And for me, the next two taboos is British rapper and gay rapper, to be honest. Because I honestly feel I've got about as much chance as a gay rapper of breaking it in America. Because as soon as they hear my accent rapping, they just turn off. They don't want to hear it because, I don't know, it's something that they're kind of not used to. But I think things are changing, man. Times are changing. You just got to be fucking great. You just need to be, like, amazing at what you do. You can't be half decent and make it as a gay rapper. You have to be brilliant, and you have to, you know, being gay just can't come into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, why make the music just about that? You know, be the LL Cool J of gay music, LL Cool Gay. Like, why do it? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, because you're based by doing that, you're only, you know, like LL Cool J only really appealed to women, really, in the masses. There was some man that like him, but really it was mostly kind of women. It's the same if you do it, I think, as a gay rapper. I think just fuck it, don't even talk about it, it's not a big deal. It shouldn't, your sexuality, I don't think, should define you as a person.
I guess I'm thinking more of it from a point of view of if there was a gay rapper, they would be able to rap about their life, which may include a partner of the same sex or something like that, not necessarily just about the sex.
No, but that's what I'm saying. If you're saying, look, when I was growing up, you know what I mean, I was the only gay, the only gay in the village, and it's fucking hard, you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and talk to disclose sexual relationships I've had with people, but it was hard, and I couldn't change the fact that I was gay, you know, but I was trying to grow up in this environment, and it was fucking hard. But hey, look, I've also got a bit of wisdom. I can actually, like, talk some sense, and I think that's what I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, because as soon as you kind of take away the whole kind of sex element, then, you know, you are only talking about shit that happened to you, and kind of being a kind of gay person in society, you know what I mean? I'm not saying be gay and then don't mention the fact that you're gay, because then that whole defeats the whole object, then you're just pretending to be something you ain't, you know what I mean?
Let's lighten things up a bit. 3 Brit Award nominations, congrats on those. We've got Best British Single, Best British Male and Album of the Year. Is there one that you're sort of vying for, and will you be at the award ceremony and performing and stuff like that?
We're going to perform at the awards ceremony. I truly believe I ain't going to win nothing. I just think that's that pessimist side of me creeping in there. Do you know what I mean? No, honestly, like, I think, you know, people that deserve to get things don't always get it, you know. And I think if you care about it, if you, like, get all excited and you make it like this really important thing, and when it doesn't happen, it can really hurt you. Do you know what I mean? So I just think I've achieved what I've achieved. No one can take that away from me. It's always nice to get an award. It's always nice to have that kind of recognition. But, you know, that's not why I do this. I don't do this for that. You know, I've already got my award. You know what I mean? I've already achieved way more than someone from where I'm from should achieve, you know what I mean? So I'm happy with that. I'm not defined by an award. An award is not going to really define whether or not my album's a classic album. You know, if people are listening to my album in 10 years' time, that's what will define that. And you won't give, no one's going to give a fuck about how many awards I won, you know?
And I guess the reaction you get from the crowd, like last night at the Prince, everyone was singing along to all of the songs. They all knew it. They were going off. It was, I was even...
I'm sure there must have been quite a few British people there, but, the album has been out here, May 2010. Yeah. So it's been out. People get hold of it, and I guess, you know, word of mouth kind of spread in... Yeah, you know, but I think before that as well, I think just the fact that an album's out, it wasn't so heavily promoted over here, but it was available, you could get it. And I think, you know, last year in Australia, Plan B was one of those things that someone would come across and tell their mates about. But I was really surprised to kind of see so many people there singing, you know, the lyrics to songs that we haven't even released as singles yet, like Writings on the Wall, there's also kind of singing along to it, it's crazy.
before we start to wrap things up, I always try and get a bit of a scoop. So I'm hoping you can help me out and give me something that you haven't sort of put out there yet. Maybe a collaboration or not gossip, but just something that you might be working on that we don't know about yet.
No, there's something happening with me and Elton John that we both vocaled, recorded, and we're just being careful about what we say about it because we want... I want to use the song to do something good because it's like a sincere song and I don't feel like I should make money out of it. So that's about as much as I'm going to say. You know, obviously sounds like I'm talking about a charity record, but I don't want it to be a charity record where it betters our careers. I want it to just simply be something that people buy and the money goes to the right people. And that's it, but it's pretty exciting.
Gosh, it's not Will and Kate's wedding song, is it?
No, fuck that shit. Yeah, never.
The final question I ask each guest on Bandcamp is the same one, and we've had some interesting answers to it over the years. Basically, I read out our mission statement as a radio station, and in that time, ask you to come up with a mission statement for your music. So here's your thinking time. Joy 94.9 is a volunteer-based community radio station, providing a voice for the diverse gay and lesbian community, enabling freedom of expression, the breaking down of isolation, and the celebration of our culture, achievements, and pride. What is your mission statement, Plan B?
My mission statement. Plan B represents someone who's trying to change other people's perception of music. There's prejudice in music due to culture, due to history, where those musics originated from. And through the aid of telling stories and showing examples of the things that I want to change in the world, I will use at my disposal hip-hop, soul music, reggae music, drum and bass music, any kind of music I want to do, because the most important thing about what I do is that I'm a storyteller.
Fantastic. Well done. On the spot. No arms and arms. The album is The Defamation of Strickland Banks. There's a special 2CD edition out right now through Warner Music. The website is timeforplanb.co.uk, and the big thank you is to Plan B for joining us here on Bandcamp.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.